kindly state your name.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. Well, I think these guys are pretty darn dope.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
What?
A Cow Media station.
Are we on the air?
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel and Barry in the Hate Fest continues right here till 4 o'clock. Nick, by the way, who feels like he is immune today, is ducking and moving, but it's about to start, brother, because Barry and I continue to get hate tweets and hate texts.
Yeah, Chase Tanner's killing you on Twitter.
I bring so much knowledge to the table and good stuff, and then I make one dad joke, which is admittedly a fun dad joke as we wrap up a segment, and suddenly the rocket scientists that are back at work today in Houston chime in.
Chase Tanner.
What the hell ever?
Chase Tanner said, Barry, can you start writing Pac-Man Joel's jokes? He's struggling, quote, rather be long than short. Really? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. That's only fair. Like, I'm getting hate, too. Don't worry. But Nick is jealous.
I'm left out.
Before you get
to yours, can I just make one point on Chase Tanner before we turn the page on the most exposure he's ever gotten in his life?
Okay.
He has one follower. One. Chase, congratulations. You're number one in their book, not ours. Continue on, Bert.
He probably made a fake account and then followed himself. Nick is actually making comments at the break of how jealous he is. That
he's not getting the hate.
So what I'm asking you out there listening is you need to text the show and tweet the show and tell us why you hate Nick.
Thank you.
I want to know why. I know why I hate Nick, but I want to know why you hate Nick. That's what I want to know.
I thought he was going to mention hate. I was looking at my timeline. I don't see anything. But okay.
Yeah, no.
You're calling for it.
Yeah, I want to know the reasons why you guys out there hate Nick so much. So yeah.
Okay, cool. And didn't you have another one from your boy?
A couple of them, and we'll touch on these. But the guy that calls me Farva used to hate me doesn't hate me anymore. Although I'm sure he hates me a little bit still. But he said, Barry, we should trade JJ in a second-round pick for James White and extend his contract to 4 years, $72 million. It's obvious we're the second-best team in the NFL because we gave Brady his worst performance of the year. We're just one piece away. I'm pretty sure that's a tongue-in-cheek text. But he did add, did you see that the Patriots tried to trade Jamie Collins for Hopkins? Would you trade Hopkins for Garoppolo?
Absolutely not.
No?
No.
Would okay. Not. And then he brought up another part of that is, you know, the Collins for Hopkins trade. Would you rather trade Hopkins or JJ for Jimmy Garoppolo, or would you do neither deal?
I would do neither deal.
Okay. Why?
I would do neither deal. Because, one, I'm weighing the market. I don't think there's anybody else out there, even the Browns of the world and the other teams like that,
right,
that are going to give you more than what the Texans would be giving up in that deal. I think that New England thinks that if they can get a 2 or a 1, and especially from a Belichick standpoint, if you've upgraded, you only spent a 2 on him, but if you can get a 1 for him, that you probably think that that's a win for you. I think that you'd be giving up more than you have to in either case.
I don't know if I would trade Garoppolo if I'm the Patriots.
I thought about that too.
I mean, you probably have 2 years, two more good years with Brady. And then it's going to start to decline. You're going to have to start looking at making changes. I wouldn't trade Garoppolo if you think he's as good as, you know, as a starting quarterback should be in this league. I mean, it's one thing to get picks or what have you, but if I'm the Texans, I definitely consider trading J.J. Watt for a first-round pick or quarterback. I don't know if I'm sold on Garoppolo or not. I mean, he played in, what, 3 games this year?
It's a similar situation. All he's going to
play is 3 more, and you've got the sample size you need, Brock.
Exactly. You've already been down this road with Brock. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've either got a draft or you got to go out and get a commodity that you know is proven, in my opinion.
Without question, but here's the other thing. The interesting thing to me was all the different football minds on Radio Row, and then like looking sideways at a few people that thought that this was a salvageable situation. I was like, we're just not feeling that here.
Yeah.
No, but we're not calling him a giraffe. We're not calling him names.
No, we're not.
We're just analyzing what we see, and what we see is not what we want to see done next year. I can tell you that. But I do think that that was the all-world get. We had some of them were unsung, too. Some of the quotes we got from certain people that we didn't publicize enough. But I'll tell you what, there was nothing greater than Chris Harris Jr.'s comments about calling AJ Bouye about Brock. That was classic.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, because he was like, I told him, y'all ain't going to no Super Bowl.
That was just fantastic. Like I thought Santonio Holmes, who Santonio Holmes was a guy that has had a pretty checkered past and really lived being Antonio Brown before Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And some of the things he said, too, I was like, see, that's where.
Santonio Holmes scared me a little. Him and Isaac Bruce, I thought Isaac Bruce was just going to stand up and slap the fire out of me for no reason. Yeah, no, I didn't
Isaac
ask him
Bruce
any crazy
had an
questions
about him.
I didn't ask, but here's what I noticed that I thought was really cool. How cool he was to Andres, who was sitting on the side, minding his own business, just running the stuff. That kind of gives you an insight into the kind of guy that Isaac Bruce is. He's the kind of guy that, okay, these guys are hosts. They probably think they're all cool and badass. I don't mess with them. I want to know who's this dude. Because he asked him, he goes, hey, man, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I just, you know, keep the... He goes, working your way up, man. I appreciate that. I can respect that. Shook his hand when he left.
Yeah.
Didn't want to have nothing to do with Joel and me. He was like, I don't care about you two
idiots. Had to kind of win him over. It was like work to talk to him.
But that, I mean... And
that's why he didn't get in the Hall of Fame, by the way. Because I have a little influence with people. And I make sure, forget about bringing your popcorn, you're out. That's it.
In retrospect, I admire a guy like that. It reminds me of like there's a comedian, Ali Sadiq in town, very well known comic, but he'll be at a show and he'll talk to the guys that are like the wait staff and stuff like that. Like he wants to know about he don't care about the other comics and everything. He wants to know about those guys that are the behind the scenes working hard, don't get any love, or you know what I mean? And that was what Isaac Bruce was like. I respect that.
I used to feel like that about Nick, and then he blew up. Now he's so big damn time? Big that you can't talk
about
it.
I'm not going to lie. As an intern, I was able to like schedule guests and stuff just because I was an intern. You know what I mean? Like coaches were looking at me but like, man, he's just an intern trying to make his way. I'm gonna hop on for 5 minutes.
We're going to get to that too because we got a little...
We got some hate flowing in.
I got one for Scott Nick. And Deer Park.
Well, Scott and Deer Park. He's got a target on your back anyway.
Yeah, we got Nick Who was a text. Nick Who. I hate Nick because he won't let me be the producer.
Okay.
Well, we have something to say about that, too.
Nick is terrible. He's a producer. Tell him to shut up and produce and just let Barry talk. I like that. That's a great text. That's a great text.
That's awful right there. That, in a nutshell, gets that guy banned.
Nick sounds like a whiny bitch who's never been laid.
Okay.
Hashtag Nick hate.
Wow.
I pretty much, you nailed that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't lose brownie points for being accurate.
We don't like Nick because he's scared to stand up to Travis.
So not true. So not true.
I got one that says we don't like Nick because he's scared of the interns.
Ooh.
Oh, I know why he's going down that road.
What road are we traveling?
Nick is the third member of Destiny's Child, which doesn't make any sense because there's already three, so he'd be the fourth.
Yeah, but the initial third member. Or was it the third member?
Oh, the one no one knew about?
And her dad works at Gallery Furniture.
I bet she has
Daryl.
She still has a decent check from that group.
Yeah.
I don't know
Nick loves cider made by the Dickens Company.
Dr. Dre has been heard from again or somebody like him.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Jerry, you've been holding a while. You bring up something that I wanted to bring up that I forgot about that I'm glad you're calling about in Missouri City. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I'm surprised because I think even on one of the touchdowns, when the guys, you know, after they score, they curse a little bit, whatever, and then the volume goes out. So, you know, they
right,
have
exactly
it on delay
right.
or they muted it.
Yep.
But then Willie McGinnis has got the camera right in front of his face and he's staring in the camera and he's like, yeah, you can kiss it. I'm not going to curse. He's like, lick that ass.
Thank you.
Lick that ass. Like, he was getting all crazy. And I was like, damn, Willie, you need to get out more, man. He was getting a little hyped up. And also, LeGarrette Blount was telling Brady, you're the effing best. You're the effing best.
Yep.
And I think whoever was on the delay button just gave up at the end.
I just had Nick in a panic get near it in case you thought this was satellite and you were going to let him fly. But you were absolutely right.
Yeah, Jerry.
The McGinnis one was the classic because he's in a, you know, the three-piece suit with the tie. He's carrying the Lombardi trophy. It's a big deal. You know you're on TV. But you don't know the audio's up and you say, yeah, you better kiss this or touch this MF. And I'm laughing
crazy.
God, that has to be on somebody's blooper reel in a hurry. That was great. And I heard
and
what you're saying
thing,
about Blount,
your boy
too.
Nick, he reminds me of the fat kid from Lean On Me, like he's on the roof, like crying. Jim Morgan Freeman, tell him to jump off, but he's got nowhere else to go.
You smoke crack, don't you, Nick?
Later, guys.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate the call, man.
Good call.
Classic.
You produce the show, don't you, Nick? You like crack, jump. That's great.
Nick, now I want to remind you, you asked for this.
I did.
Okay.
All right.
I'm still mad at you because you didn't retaliate on the guy at the food truck.
Richard Stite says, I hate Nick because he's still all young. That's just, now we got hashtag Nick hate going. Dude, I like this hashtag.
If that's trending, Nick, you know how big you've become. Radio Row has created a monster.
Right?
Just like that. I mean, that's what it could come down to, Nick.
I hate Nick
if Juggalo Trey is wanting to know how many digits you got.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
Scott in Deer Park says, I hate Nick because he puts up with Barry and Joel's stuff. Oh, he didn't use that word, but.
Yeah.
And then Nestor Carmona said, out of Pac-Man Joe and No Hit Nick, I don't know who worships Trap the most.
If you didn't hear yesterday's show, you better figure it out, because it was almost like a knockdown dragout. I was like,
did you guys go at it?
I just wasn't giving in, and I wasn't having it, and he was having a bad day, and so I think he just wanted to take the other side of everything.
Uh-huh.
And I was like,
ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but no, we do it all the time. But I was like, I was just like, no, man, I'm not going to just because, you know, I respect the fact he played in the NFL for 7 years, but I'm not backing down on what I saw and what I believe and what other people back me up on. So, yeah, we had a bit of a...
By the way, Chase Tanner responded to your one follower comment. Yeah. He's like, yeah, but my one follower, they're awesome. I think it might be a bot or something like that, but he's a kick-ass bot.
Hey, man, you got to start somewhere. So,
everybody started with one follower.
You know what? The biggest sunflower in the bunch was a seed one day.
Right.
So there you go. One is in the ground.
We all started with one follower. It's just some of us stayed there, Chase.
Water it, baby. Water it and nurture it. But also keep in mind that you're like manure. You're all over the place. And when you fertilize, it does start to be crappy. All right. Hey, we got much more show to go. We got one in the books. We're getting close to the halftime break, but we still want to hear from you. Great call by Jerry. If you want to be like him, follow it up with some great stuff. 713-780-ESPN. You can text that number, and Barry's checking the text. Get the call in. Get to call Nick directly, and while you get on hold, you can also tell Nick what you really think about him. And then, by the way, we'll all check our tweets from here till 4 o'clock, because we do it every day, ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Quick Nick between now and 4 p.m. And, oh, you guys are like a doorbell. Not the one that Barry gets in the back when he's on the road. You guys are like a doorbell, and you just keep chiming in. A lot of them are good, like Jerry, which was a phenomenal call.
That was a great call, Jerry. You need to call the show more often.
And then some of you ass clowns on Twitter that need to probably get back to your day job, but that's just something that I'm throwing out there.
You could tell that they were talking about you.
Yeah.
By your reaction.
Who was talking about you?
Chase, I said there are certain ass clowns out there that just need to get back to their day job.
Oh, that's true.
He's mad because Chase keeps bombarding him on Twitter.
No, and Chase is cool. I'm good with Chase's stuff.
Once
we called out Chase for having one follower, I mean, we're done. We win.
He's just
one in our corner,
you.
And we move on. There's another guy that I'm debating right now whether he needs the that he deserves the attention that I'd give him by calling him out.
Uh-oh.
But here's the thing. First, when I tweet something out, and I'm trying to, and Barry knows this, Nick knows this. We tweet a lot of the things that we tweet out for the humor in them. It could be in the video. It could be within the context of an article. It could be something that you'll catch if you are savvy enough to follow the sport or whatever, a player, whatever. But for you to call me out saying that I'm like dumb and got two players' names mixed up, when you don't realize the whole reason why I'm sending something out is because I know the difference between C.J. McCollum, who plays for the Blazers, and T.J. McConnell, who plays for the Sixers. And then when I tell you this, after you also said, do you even watch the NBA, my follow-up would be, do you even follow our show? Do you even know? Because if you did and you asked that question, you not only need to go to your day job and stop worrying about Hooked on Phonics, start worrying about a career and intelligent decision making. Because that was just stupid.
Ouch.
And I won't even use his name. How about that?
What?
I'm not going to call the guy out anymore because he's going to get attention from it, and then his 82 will go over to 100 or something.
Every
like
now
that.
And then you'll get
No one's going to follow just because of that.
Carson Wentz? No. Who, by the way, I was impressed with on Radio Row. I think that kid's going to do more great things. He was a good
guy. I like the Skittle machine.
I forget what I asked him that made him turn red, but I asked him something that embarrassed him. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I did that a couple times. I had a couple of intentional embarrassing questions. And I tried to get guys to squirm. I really thought I was going to get more hate from Stephen A. Smith when I asked him about Skip and the other show, Shannon and Skip, trying to copy them. I really thought that he would.
Which was good questions, by the way.
But he handled it so smooth. I was like, all right, this guy's, he's pretty good at this. He's,
by the way, and I saw,
pretty slick.
Were we all together waiting for our ride when we saw Skip? Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
What a toolbox. Guy weighs a buck. I mean, the dude obviously is on the fake tanning plan, and he had his big Ray-Ban aviators on. And then he was trying to look hip and cool with his black suit. And then he had...
With the tennis shoes.
With the tennis shoes. And they weren't Jordans.
They weren't?
No. They were actually the... They were like the Nike...
And Joel was really sure about this. I'm like, are you sure? He's like, oh, no, they're not
Jordans. Because I actually looked like...
They look like 11s. They look like
11s. The toe, to your credit, when he was staring right... When he was straight up looking at you, the toe looks a little like the 11.
They look like Space Jam.
But the rest of it, yeah, there's no logos. There's no patent leather. There's no nothing. And they were like zip-ups. Like, over the...
What?
Yeah, there was zip-up on the front. I'm like, look, this dude is...
I'm just mad because he pulled that style off before me, and he's like 90.
Well, I was going to say, but here's the thing. Just because you make a lot of money doesn't mean you understand what's fashionable. The zipper top on a tennis shoe, no. Okay, unless you're wearing the gloves that had the zipper cover, that's fine. Other than that, the only zipper you should be messing with is the one attached to your fly or your jacket.
Wait a minute.
I don't question Joel when it comes down to shoes.
Right. Are you totally discounting the ruse?
I am completely discounting the ruse.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I think if Clyde Drexler could go back and change the fact that he once wore ruse, I think he would.
Where am I going to keep my house key if I can't rock the ruse?
That little pouch that no one else uses on the waistband of their gym shorts on the inside by the tie string.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have to use it.
Is that what little pocket's for on men's jeans? What the hell is that pocket
first
for?
First of all, I don't know what jeans you're wearing, but I'm not looking for a little pocket in the front.
Yeah, that little extra pocket on the right side. You don't know what that is? Come on,
the
dude.
Fifth pocket?
Yeah, what
it's
is that?
For E.T.
Yeah, the fifth pocket. What is the fifth pocket for?
Well, there was E.T. Okay. The extra testicle.
Jesus Christ.
I did not know you were going to go down that road.
Come on, man. By the way, have we noticed that Juggalo Trey has a thing for Gaga? Because he said he hoped that the people that let her stay in the house stayed with her. And he said, I know I would. And that I just got a creepy thing that he'd either be under the bed that she was sleeping in or in the closet. And then you don't have to look like Chucky. If you're Trey and you come out either place, holy good Lord, you'd scare someone for life.
I just kept yelling at Trap. She doesn't have a penis, Travis. She doesn't have a penis. I'm like, why are you yelling that?
When was this?
When was yesterday?
Yeah.
In there?
Oh, because Trap was critical of Gaga.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah.
He didn't use the
Is that him on hold?
Penis, but.
But wait, she doesn't?
Is that him on hold?
Yeah, it might be. You want to go to him? I don't
let's
know.
See what Trey, see. Let's see what the anonymous Trey on hold wants and if it's the right Trey.
Yeah, this is him.
There
don't
you go.
Don't you guys ever talk about Lady Gaga.
Why?
Don't ever disparage her great name.
Why? Why do you like this dude so much?
Shut up, Barry. He doesn't have a penis.
Not
Barry
anymore?
Didn't say anything about her genitalia.
Well... if it's genitalia, you just admitted she's a girl because that's the word for genitalia is female.
And you just did your rap routine in 15 seconds. I got it right, but I'm asking you why you're all defensive about this female.
Because she's great. She's like one of the only pop stars I can stand. And like I don't care for people being disparaging or dragging her name through the mud, you know? It's ridiculous.
Wait, he's dragging other things, not her name, but at the same time, it's getting you all tongue-twisted and tied. So if you stayed in the house when she was in the house, am I right that you'd either be under the bed or in the closet?
No, I'd stay in the closet, you know?
Okay.
Well.
I'd never come out.
I'm not going to make the joke.
Yeah, there's two of them right there, just right in front of us.
I was setting you up for it, Dan.
I know, because you're a genius, Trey.
Trey,
I am a genius.
Because you have aspirations of opening for Barry, right?
What?
You want to open for Barry someday?
Yeah, I will. I will open for Barry. I'll open for Barry while Barry opens for George Wallace.
That's right. Well, Barry already been there, done that.
All right. Well, Trey, what the hell do you want?
Trey, are you working?
I don't know. I just wanted to talk about the halftime show and how great it was.
Are you working?
I didn't get to call in yesterday because I was there.
You're not here today?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so tweet us your home number, and then everybody that wants to throw hate your way like they're throwing Nick right now, they'll just call you, and then it'll be your dream because then you can have fights with them.
Y'all are always hating on me.
I'm not.
I got to go to, like, my safe space.
which is the closet at Gaga's rental house. But at the same time, we're always pumping you up. We bring you on the show on a regular basis. We pump you up.
Guys, this is terrible. Let's let Trey go and move on.
Yeah, just hang up.
Please hang up, Nick. Please. Trey, not your best effort, my man. Not your best effort. I hated to step in there, but that was Trey was floundering a
JJ
little bit.
JJ Laminack just put the end to that one.
Trey was floundering a
Judge
little.
Judge and jury just wham, you're guilty gone
I'm
by.
I'm sorry. He was floundering a little. He could have done better.
All right, let's keep rolling. Let's get another one in before the break. Let's go to Ken real quick. Ken in Houston, what's up?
Yo, what is up, fellas?
What's up, Ken?
Ken, what's going on, man?
Man. Well, you know, I had my day of mourning. You know, I couldn't call yesterday because I was still a little bit thrown off from this game.
I was wondering when we were going to hear from you, Ken. Hold tight, all right? Because we're up against it on a break, and you needed to call. This is going to be a good one. Just hold tight. We're going to get you after the break, and we're going to let you talk about how embarrassed you may be. Ken is a Falcons fan from Atlanta that was blowing that horn like Herb Albert. So we're going to get back to Ken in just a second, but we got a couple of business things to attend to. But don't go anywhere, because Ken will put tail between legs next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick, as we reach the halfway point of what has been a stellar first half, now we just got to make sure we don't crap the bed and run out of juice like the Falcons D, and we finish strong so we don't need OT. Because then the Blitz would hate us because we would be infringing on their time. So we continue to roll along. You guys, I was thankful yesterday that we were back at headquarters. Because as great as Radio Row was, part of what we pride ourselves on in this show is participation by the listener.
Yep.
And I missed that. I missed the calls, the texts. Let me say that again. I missed the calls, the tweets. And maybe the text.
A few.
Yeah. But then again, I didn't expect you guys to jump right back in rare form on the complete wrong side of it today. A lot of people killing it. Some people I'd like to kill you. But that's just different. I don't know if you've heard from your guy. If your favorite texter has chimed in, then we know we're completely back to normal.
My guy.
That we're not allowed to speak about it.
Oh, yeah, he's fired off a couple.
Okay, good. So then we're completely official. Yeah. We are back to normal. Very good.
On the hashtag Nick Hate, someone said Nick's okay. He's like the kitten with one eye and mange at the shelter. You have to like him.
Oh, God.
And then you said something about someone like Dre. What's that supposed to mean, Joel? By the way, Nick's good people. Mad respect for that, the young man. You did that wrong, Dre.
Yeah, you did. And by the way, totally I was giving you credit wrong. And love, Dre, because someone was trying to be like you to slide in the name and or sexually orientated kind of connotations and innuendo that Barry would just read because he doesn't screen and preview texts off air. Because half the time, if you could, again, if we had cameras in here and you could see Barry's face with the oh crap moment when he's starting to read what he thinks is going to be a good text, and all of a sudden he goes, yeah, there's a couple words in there. I learned that the hard way too.
I should have read this first. Yeah. I do tend to just shoot from the hip when it comes to the texts and the tweets. I'm getting tons of texts and tweets telling me that fifth pocket is for pocket watches, which no one uses anymore. Josh Rapp said it's for condoms. Okay. That's an acceptable
You're being
answer.
Safe. Okay.
Josh Rapp also said something about Nick, which was.
He did. Read it.
Josh Rapp said. Nick, and I think you're aware, you haven't seen this yet, but what kind of name is Sharara? Did the Asians from A Christmas Story sing your name? And he included the video of A Christmas Story. So you're going to have to catch up on that.
It's not bad.
At least no one's taking shots at your middle name.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just saying. That was good investigative journalism. That's all I'm
saying.
That's
true. One more before we get back to the calls, because I know we got to do that. But the guy that always texts the show about Dickens company making cider says he wants to be call me Screwston the cider guy. So now we have a name for that, Screwston the cider guy. There you go.
A lot of people use Screwston.
Yeah.
By the way,
and no one knew what scissor was when Nick and I were out interviewing people. No one knew
a lot.
No one knew what scissor was.
Let me just say that. Yeah, that was the beauty of that video. No one knew a whole lot.
That's true. No one knew who the pole was.
The pole.
The pole. I can't believe no one knew who the pole was. The one guy did. Harry the pole. Boom. How'd you know that? It's amazing. All right. Go watch it if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, boy.
It was fun.
All right, so we got some calls still waiting, talking Super Bowl and other things. Ken, yeah, that's right. I previewed you before the break because I was wondering where you were yesterday. With as much venom and vigor as you had, and by the way, Ken, turned on your radio. Much venom and vigor as you had in burying anyone in the Dirty Birds way on the way to the big game, I did think of you.
Well,
in overtime, and go, oh boy, they're going to beat you like a drum.
Ken, do you have your radio on?
Nah, I got it down, man.
Well, it's got to be off right
it's
now.
It's a speaker. It's so loud. It's feeding back into his microphone.
All right. Well, go ahead, Ken. Cry. Yeah. Go ahead. Cry. I want to hear you cry.
Hey, well, I ain't got no reason to cry. I have my aunt on the phone. We call from Atlanta, Georgia, because we wanted to talk about this right here, and I want to maybe leave the floor to her on this Falcons game. Lise.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give them your input on this.
Well, my input is that we didn't think we were going to make it to the Super Bowl. We made it to the Super Bowl, and we lost. But we'll be back. It was a surprise being there. We Dirty Birds for life. Rise up.
Oh.
All day.
Now, Ken. All day. Now, Ken, why couldn't you tell us that? Why did you have to get your aunt? Was it your aunt?
Because it's very simple. My response to it is, I ride through the city with my flag still on my car, with my hat still on my head. You know what?
What that foot stamp says on your butt.
On the butt of my car. He got that right.
Okay.
Now, Ken, what happened, though? Tell me, in one sentence, tell me what happened on Super Bowl Sunday.
Well, hell, they ran out. You know what? They got out coached, and sometimes you do something too much. You do something too good, you forget to keep it simple.
Yep.
Sometimes you got to keep it short and simple. Very just as easy as that.
Okay.
All right. So, Ken, so now are you glad Shanahan's gone? Because, I mean, only running the ball four times after getting up 28-3, you guys, I've said it, you run the ball more, and especially after the Julio Jones catch, you run the ball two more times and kick a field goal, you win that game.
Yeah, wet was a wet, Kansas was nuts, and every day was Christmas. Hell, I can't second guess what the man did. I know what I would have done. But you know what? One on the bridge. We got a nucleus. We starting up. Hey, just like Dan Quinn said today, we're not going to sit there and be tired. We're not going to put this thing in the rearview mirror. Shoot. And move forward. What else can you do? Everybody asked me today how you feel. Hell, I feel bad. But guess what? Life moves on. The next season, shoot, we know more what it takes to make this thing happen.
That's the right attitude to have, Ken. You keep that up. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And there's no truth to the fact that Falcon fans are already petitioning to go from the Falcons to the Black Crows because they're going to – a lot of Falcon fans are eating crow. I don't know if you guys saw the Atlanta Hawks page.
No.
The Atlanta Hawks tweeted when they went up – when the Falcons went up 28-3. Basically, the Patriots should call us. We know what it's like to be in Houston and come back from being down 20-plus. They took a barrage when the Patriots came back.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, and then people were blaming them for jinxing the Falcons and everything else. But,
well,
I mean,
I hope Ken and his aunt and everyone that's a Falcons fan enjoys a not as stellar offense next year.
It's crazy to me that they
would. I really think Kyle Shanahan did a lot for that offense.
I agree. I think he kind of. I think he maybe got too comfy and fell asleep at the wheel in the second half.
But overall for the year, if you look at how they improved leap by leaps and bounds under him, they're going to miss that.
I don't know if you heard the announcement today,
mm-hmm.
but this is one of the crazier things that has happened, and Nick Saban's not used to this.
Uh-oh.
So when Kiffin left to go to Florida Atlantic, again, like we've all talked about, Alabama keeps coaches in waiting. Steve Sarkisian, who was just as offensive-minded as Kiffin and had the same kind of background, was immediately installed as the offensive coordinator. And if you remember, he actually was the offensive coordinator for Alabama in the national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who was just named the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons? Steve Sarkisian.
Really?
Yeah.
So I didn't see that.
He left Nick Saban at the altar after giving him a first date in the national championship game and said, yeah, I'm moving on. Thanks for everything, and I'm gone.
Wow.
Saban doesn't get done like that very often. So that's going to be interesting to see. But again, to your point, I think here's the thing. If you are Steve Sarkisian and you say, man, if I'm looking to execute an offense where I could do anything that I wanted to do, and I got those two running backs and those receivers and that quarterback,
yep,
I might have some fun with all this. Yeah, I'll take that opportunity instead of basically going back to when Kiffin said, fun's not a word we use around here at Alabama.
Right.
In weighing the two options, pretty good decision, I think. But at the same time, not many guys. You better hope it works out, because I'm sure Saban's going to send out a few messages if he's looking for another job anytime soon.
That's one of those conversations that you just text to Nick Saban. Hey, Nick, I won't be home ever.
I don't know if you swung by my...
Kind of like in Harlem Nights when the dude met Sunshine, and then he calls his wife. He's like, hey, baby, yeah, listen, I'm never coming home. Tell the kids I love them. That's it.
If you swung by my desk and you saw that it looked kind of empty the last couple days, I'm sorry, but I cleaned house. I'm out. Take care of yourself. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yep.
All right, we appreciate the opportunity to do this for you every single day, and we're going to continue to move on and move forward as we continue to roll through Super Bowl stuff and other things on the agenda, and we have plenty more to cover. See what I did there, Trey? All right, we've got much more show to get to. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So if you need numbers, we can get them for you, but safe to say, spring training is right around the corner for all of you that are depressed because football season's over.
I cannot
wait. And forget
wait.
That there's a basketball season, too. But at the same time, there's no doubt in my mind that that team, the Astros debuted their slogan today.
What is it?
Earn it. Which I think Jim Crane, after spending all that money, walked into everybody and just basically said those two words. And they went, wow, that'd be a great marketing slogan. And it would make the boss happy. Well, the boss ain't happy spending that money unless he gets a return on investment. That would be that they compete for a World Series. And I definitely think they can. It should be a fun summer around here.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to what the Astros got going.
It'll tell you where my mindset is. I found an article today that ranked all 30 starting rotations.
Saw that.
And
so let's get to that. Let's get Rob. Rob's been waiting a while. Let's get Rob in here, and then let's get to some other things. Rob, what's up?
Well, I just want to run a thought past y'all. You all were talking about making trades left and right.
Right.
Earlier, what you heard on Radio Row. How about this one? The Cleveland sent Osweiler, Kareem Jackson, this year's first-round pick, next year's second, and the third round the following year to Cleveland for their first-round pick and RG3.
Why would you want RG3
as a
bridge? Well, he would be a good intermediate quarterback for right now. And if you draft Deshaun Watson, you need someone to teach him with the ropes.
You think that's? Don't you think that's a lot to give up, Rob? I mean,
yeah. Why would you give up
again,
a first, second?
It's kind of like what I said about JJ and or D-Hop in a trade. I don't think any other team in the league is going to have to give up that much, and I don't think the Texans would have to give up that much. And that's not to say that if Cleveland goes defense with the first pick, that Watson could slide a long way, and you might not have to give up hardly anything at all, and you could move up.
That's true. I agree with you on that. I just wanted to toss that thought out, though.
No, I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't be trading a first, second, and third for their first round pick and RG3, much less the other players that you threw in there. I mean, RG3, there's a reason why he's floating around like he is. I mean,
yeah.
he's not the answer for a team like the Texans.
That's like the Niners saying Kyle Shanahan wants Matt Schaub as a bridge quarterback until they figure out who they're going to quarterback. I mean, between the two of them, it's a toss-up on the scrap heap. I don't know which one that I would want less, but I don't think I want either one of them.
I mean, if I'm going after any player on the Browns, it's going to be Joe Thomas. That's probably the only one that I would want. You could bolster your offensive line a little bit.
Without the variables being negative, because, you know,
yeah.
You got guys with a bunch of ability, but you're kind of going, there's also a lot of strikes against that you're going, you know, probably not.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Rob.
All right, so I was saying to Barry in the break, Nick, and I don't know if you saw this, but ironically, the game between the Cavaliers and the Wizards was on TNT last night. So almost as if to subliminally send a message to Charles Barkley in the process, it was great timing. But Cleveland, who was winning most of the game against Washington last night, down three, like less than a second left, inbounding the ball full court, and Kevin Love does what he does. He throws the perfect outlet pass, three-quarters court. LeBron catches, turns, and shoots at the wing in front of the sideline by the bench,
uh-huh,
and finds the bank open late on a Monday night. Kisses it in, they tie the game, and then in overtime, Kyrie Irving seals the deal, and Cleveland comes back to win. It's pretty amazing. That's one of those shots where, and Barry and I were debating back and
Lucky.
Forth whether he planned to bank it or not.
Lucky.
You think so?
Got to call it.
I think at that angle, I think that he was, I think in the back of his mind, he was looking to play glass, but I can't say that he didn't just turn and heave it either. But that's one of those where you absolutely just stole a win out of the jaws of defeat.
Yeah. And I don't think he tried. I mean, I think he tried to make it.
Yeah.
I think, though, with the way that the shot went down.
But I wouldn't call it either. There's just time left.
It was lucky. But you got to call a bank. The bank's closed
with less
that
than
late.
A second left, though?
The bank's closed
you
that
see
late.
It. Go on the internet and find it.
The bank is
that's
closed.
A tough
it's
shot.
It's just unreal. From the toughest spot in the entire on the entire arc. Which they really you know, the a lot of people call it the nipple the where the straight line starts the arc right there at the that actual corner that's the toughest three to make and I mean I told Barry I rewound it and watched it three different times because I thought he stepped out I really did I'm like he's got big feet as it is but that narrow gap right there when you're trying to catch turn and shoot is when your outside foot normally hits that sideline.
Yep.
And he did not go out of bounds, and he made the shot. And it's like, wow, that was pretty big time right there because they haven't been playing well, and they needed a game like that. That was a pretty phenomenal ending.
Good
to
for
a
them.
Game.
Good
and,
win.
And by the way, too, you got to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, Memphis and San Antonio, tell you what, careful of those Grizzlies, Nicholas.
Grizzlies, I know, they're a good team. They're one team that I've been afraid of the Grizzlies all season long. All season long.
They definitely are playing better and better, and that's why the little slide that the Rockets have been on, they need to make sure that they get their ducks in a row again. Because
they still got to catch up with the Jazz first. Because
Utah's still, were they four back now?
Yep.
So Utah's four back. I think everybody's kind of written off the Clippers due to injuries.
Utah of the Rockets?
In the loss column.
Oh.
I always go by the loss column.
They're two back in the loss column.
I think they're four back in the
world. They're three games behind the Rockets.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
Utah's in the rearview mirror, and the objects the objects you see are actually closer than they appear. Utah and Memphis coming in the second half of the season. You better be really much on your game and your tiptoes.
Yeah.
You're the Rockets.
But the Rockets just went through a tough stretch. They played five on the road in a row, and they went, what, 2-3? What? Why are you pointing?
I'm just listening.
I see you gesturing over there. I'm letting the people know.
This is where
you're mocking and pointing.
I'm just saying this is where Rocket Boy gets going on the defensive on his team.
I'm about to kick facts. That's it. Tell me if I'm wrong on any of this. They went 2-3 on the road on a 5-game road stretch where most of the time you're happy if you go 500. True or false?
True or false, they blew a 20-point lead against Atlanta.
True or false, they went 2-3 on the road where most of the time you're happy if you go 500.
I don't know if you're happy. You know, if you're a good team, you don't go 500. You're not happy if you go 500 on the road. If you're a good team, if you're a competitive team, if you are a championship caliber team, you are not happy going 2-3 on the road.
Sure you are.
No, you're not.
Sure you are.
No, you're not. And if you
any
ask,
team will tell you that.
No, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. If you ask the team
dude,
that
if you can split
either
a road
have won
trip?
A championship or are on the cusp of winning a championship, they'll tell you that they every game that they play, they expect to win. But on the road, it doesn't matter where they play because they expect the targets on their back anyway, that they should be better than 500 on the road.
There are two teams that
San Antonio
tell you that.
Would tell you that there, every time.
Exactly. There are two teams, the Warriors and the Spurs. Every other team in the NBA.
LeBron will tell you that, whether he believes it or not, or whether they do it or not.
The Cavs are 13-10 on the road.
It doesn't matter what they are. He's going to tell you that they expect to win more than they lose on the road.
Then my whole life watching basketball is a lie because I've never heard anything but the fact
I wouldn't be that mean. I'd call your whole life a fib watching basketball.
But
at the same time, that's how – I mean, I hate to break it to you, but that's how these guys think.
No.
They think on the road if they're a good team that they should be better than 500.
No. I disagree.
I don't know how you know. Golden State's a team you left out, too. Golden State's another team that'll tell you flat out right off the bat.
I just said the Warriors and the Spurs.
Okay. Toronto actually is a team when you talk to guys – whether they can do it or not. But Toronto, you can talk to Kyle all day long, and Kyle will tell you, we expect to go better than 500 on the road.
You certainly don't want to go
14 and 12
on a road trip.
I know what they are, but I'm telling you what they think.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about.
I disagree.
I mean, you certainly don't want to go on to a road trip with that mentality, but I guess if that's what you're... I mean, I can see how like some teams have to be realistic. Like, I think some teams will be like, all right, 2-3 on the road, and yeah, totally. I think it's completely okay. Maybe a championship level team, which the Rockets are really not there yet. Yeah, maybe
be careful. Now you're going to get the hate.
Well, hey, the championship. If you're going to be a championship level team, you got to be either close or have won a championship. And the Rockets have not gotten there yet. They just got to the Western Conference Finals once. What? Not last year, but the year before. Yeah. I think it's fair to not call them a championship level team just yet.
I've said that, and I got a lot of heat for it.
Well, but if they do, it doesn't mean I didn't think.
I'm talking about what the way the question was posed, and what we were talking about was their mentality and what they say and what they think. There's no doubt that if you are a team in the top five in the NBA, you expect and think when you go on the road, you're doing better than 500, especially when you start measuring the opponents you're playing.
How many road trips have they gone, though?
All I'm telling you is from every coach I've ever heard in this town that has coached the Rockets, they've always like, oh yeah, we went 5-1 on the road. We'll take that coming back. Absolutely.
What they say to get the media off their back and what they believe behind closed doors are different things. They're going to tell the media things so that they don't get taking questions on it.
Okay.
That's a fact.
Okay.
We'll have Mikhail on this week, and he'll tell you that. He hates the media so much that in most cases, he'll say something to appease them because he knows he won't get a follow-up question. So he'll say, hey, you know what? You guys can bust my chops all you want. We went 5-1 on the road. That's great. But in his office or in the team meetings, he's saying if you think you're a championship caliber team, if you thoroughly believe in your mind that this team is capable of winning a championship, then you damn well better not accept or think or even fathom that a 500 road trip is okay.
Do you
especially
even watch basketball?
Against opponents. Yeah, exactly. I spent all my time watching soccer.
Dude, I was waiting on that. That was so fun.
There you go. And by the way, one of the great, if you guys don't follow Super 70s sports, they're always phenomenal about like going back in time and coming up with some classic lines. Well, they also came up with this one when we mentioned Sarkisian's job interview. The question was, they sat him down and said, would you run the ball in field goal range with an 8-point lead, 4 minutes to play, and you're in the Super Bowl? Yes, you're hired. That was that simple. So that basically summed up the Falcons in going forward with Steve Sarkisian. All right, so we've got two in the books. We got one more to go. Plenty more show. If you want to get involved in it, Jose wants to talk about the Astros. Don't go anywhere. We're coming to you next. We've got plenty of topics to cover along the way, and we'd also like to cover topics you want to talk about. So join us, won't you? 713-780-ESPN for text and calls. Hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.